Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This week's date is February 25th, 2013. Well, I hope you all had a good week. My week was par for the course. My kids ran me around and work was good. I wanted to say thanks to Brother Jeff from Down Under for the donation. It's donations like that which keep the show going. So thanks again, brother. I really, really appreciate it. So I had some good emails and so much good Masonic conversation this week with a brother from my Scottish Rite Temple, Brother Harmon. He runs the Free Masons, two separate words, on Facebook. It's a page. Anyway, things that came up were the Traditional Observance Lodge and how to keep Masonry going. Lots of great conversation and ideas. Well, I guess we're going to jump right in here with a short talk bulletin, which I didn't get to last week, entitled Freemasonry, Its Place in the World. Freemasonry, Its Place in the World by Norman Bucher. If you are really interested in knowing the value of Masonic fraternity, especially in today's world, please read this short talk carefully. Brother Norm Bucher has captured the spirit and essence of Freemasonry and its true meaning in the most emphatic and enlightening way. Norman Bucher is a past Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Illinois. Freemasonry in the present form has existed for less than 300 years, yet there have always been organizations resembling this great fraternity. Such groups were formed in many places over several centuries. Why? Because man is a social creature. He has an inherent need for companionship, friendship, association with others. There are many definitions of Freemasonry. Perhaps the one most often quoted is that it is an association of men believing in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, using building tools as symbols to teach basic moral truths, thereby impressing on the minds of its members the cardinal virtues of brotherly love, relief, and truth, which they should apply in their everyday activities. In this description seems rather trite, maybe out of place in the cynical world of today. We need only remember that there is a real need for what are somewhat scornfully called the old-fashioned, out-of-date virtues. Let us step back in time. At the dawn of history, man was confronted with many problems: hunger, the elements, disease, predators, and many others. But God gave man memory so that he could profit from his experiences. Later, he was given the gift of communication so that he could pass on what he had learned from generation to generation. Thus, through the succession of ages, man has developed the means to increase our food supply, provide shelter from the elements, conquer many diseases, and solve many of the problems concerning the practical things of life. Yet with all this progress in technology, we have to ask, has man's moral progress kept pace? I think not. In spite of all the comforts that we enjoy in this modern world, there is no worldwide happiness, peace, or tranquility. As we look around, we find frustrated individuals and unhappy people. Everyone is demanding more rights, more security, and a desire for more things. Our community problems such as drugs, gangs, and corruption are increasing. What does Freemasonry offer the world? Let us rephrase that question and ask, what can we learn from Freemasonry which will help our modern world? First, Freemasonry does not deal with the mass media. It works with and through the individual. In our fraternity, the individual is all important. He is considered the most important thing in the world. Our communities are made up of many people, and to have happy communities, the people must individually be happy. In our form of government, the individual is all important. He is a vital part of the nation's governing body. As Masons and Americans, we believe the government exists to serve the people. There are other political ideologies, and isms, if you will, that consider a person only as a means of serving the government. Freemasonry offers to the world a basic ideal that is being forgotten. Every individual is important, and his personal welfare counts. Second, Freemasonry believes in and teaches the fatherhood of God. Before an individual enters the lodge, he is asked, "Do you believe in the existence of God?" To which he must give an affirmative answer. In many places, God is forgotten, even denied. Many of the isms considered God and religion as old-fashioned, out-of-date, superstition, and opiate of the mind. We as Freemasons consider God as the very foundation of Freemasonry. Be advised that Freemasonry does not concern itself with doctrine or the theology of any church or form of worship. It requires only that a Mason must profess a belief in God. Freemasonry does not teach how God manifests himself to man or how it is reconciled to God. It is true that it tries to enrich a member's belief in God by instructing him to the moral law. It does try to do that for every member. Freemasonry therefore teaches tolerance for the religious beliefs of all men to the point that we can and do meet together, pray together, in complete harmony. To a Mason, there is only one supreme being. No matter what the name we give him, Freemasonry affords men of all creeds the opportunities to meet together and to understand each other's beliefs. It is the only organization where political and religious discussion is prohibited within tiled walls. Third, another principle offered to the world by Freemasonry logically follows from that which has just been said, the brotherhood of man. We have a common father, God. Are we not all brothers? We hear nothing about this principle today. All around us we hear demands for rights of one kind or another. How often do we hear the duties or obligations? In Freemasonry, we are taught the duties we owe to others. We are taught the obligations we owe to our families, our community, and our country. With every right, there is a corresponding obligation. Freemasonry says nothing about rights, but it has much to say about duties and obligations that we as members owe. If we all do our duty, all of us will profit. Dr. Joseph Fort Newton tells us, "A duty dodged is like a debt unpaid. It is only deferred, and sooner or later, we must settle the account." Fourth, the Freemasonry that we know today evolved from the builders' guilds of the Middle Ages. Therefore, the word work plays an important part in the philosophy in our ceremonies. Today, as I implied before, there is a great desire to get something for nothing. We have quiz programs, horse races, lotteries, bingos, and casinos, all catering to this desire. We believe that wealth comes from work, working with natural resources and creating useful products. Some seem to think it comes from the government, but it doesn't. Mostly the government collects money from us, the taxpayers, and then distributes it. And the handling charge is tremendous. The operative Masons in the Middle Ages worked with their hands. They built huge structures of wood and stone. They had an apprentice system to teach young men to work and develop their natural skills. The idea of work is even woven into the very fabric of Freemasonry. The world needs to be reminded that work is honorable, work is necessary, and that work makes for happiness. Freemasonry takes the idea of work from our ancient brethren and converts it into a symbol. We as Freemasons no longer build visible structures, but we build symbolic structure. A structure of character, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our Constitution assures us that we are entitled to the right of the pursuit of happiness. But in this assurance, the emphasis is not on the word happiness itself. It is on the right to pursue happiness. We are offered and guaranteed the right to use our God-given skills and by employing them to secure happiness. Fifth, Freemasonry offers an opportunity for social contacts and the development of friendships. The feeling of belonging, being a part of, is a vital part of every man's being. No man is an island unto himself. To be happy, we must belong to something, a family, a community, a country club, or something, or some other group. Freemasonry is one of the best groups to which we can belong. It is a glorious past. Many great men have been Masons. It teaches valuable lessons and affords the opportunity for service to mankind. The bringing together of its members in worthwhile activities helps to promote this feeling of belonging. The psychologists tell us that the feeling of being important to someone or even something is what makes us happy. Freemasonry provides many opportunities for development of this feeling. A member can feel pride in belonging to the oldest, largest, and greatest fraternity in the world. He can serve a vital function by serving as an officer. He can do charitable work. He can visit the sick and the shut-ins, all of which gives a member a feeling of knowing that he is important to others and to Freemasonry. But here again, we stress the importance of the individual, not the group. I think this is one of the intangible, subtle, and necessary elements of Freemasonry, making the individual happy. We have already said if the individual is happy, the community is happy. If the community is happy, the nation is happy. And if the nation is happy, the world will be at peace. Sixth, Freemasonry offers the world a philosophy of life. Our degrees are designed to teach each member certain basic moral truths. No man ever became a Mason without becoming a better man. Our lessons are taught in the unique manner which makes the principles more effective. Oftentimes, we are asked if the lessons of Freemasonry are so beneficial, why are they so taught behind closed doors? The answer lies in the very nature of man. That which is open to constant view becomes commonplace and attracts little attention. That which is hidden, is sought for, searched for, becomes attractive and creates interest. That is the purpose of the secrecy of the ritual, the element of anticipation, an air of mystery, the feeling of surprise. All of these put a new member in a receptive frame of mind. In addition, is the fact that our lessons are taught using symbols. This is an effective teaching method. With the use of builder's tools, Freemasonry teaches moral lessons. Many Masonic expressions have found their way into everyday conversation. We use the square to illustrate honesty in our dealings with one another. He is on the square, or he is a square dealer. Each candidate receives the philosophy of life in a most impressive manner. This way of life contains all the lessons of rules adopted and practiced by all good men. It covers the golden rule. It teaches us that we are our brother's keeper, that we are to aid the widow and the orphan. It teaches us that we can best worship God by rendering service unto our fellow men. It teaches honesty is the best policy. These moral lessons are taught in schools and churches, but the method of teaching used in Masonic Lodge is unique. These lessons are taught without reference to sectarian creeds or religious dogma. Freedom of thought and expression is taught and practiced without any reference to the results of the next election. Many of the characteristics of church, school, social clubs, and ethical societies are incorporated into Freemasonry, and while resemblance with such organizations can be discerned, none is exactly like this great organization that the world knows as Freemasonry. To summarize and answer the question asked in the beginning, what does Freemasonry offer the world? Very briefly, Freemasonry offers to mankind an emphasis on the importance of the individual, the belief in the brotherhood of man under the fatherhood of God, the concept of the dignity of work and its necessity for the pursuit of happiness, the opportunity to realize one's social aspirations in a moral, constructive atmosphere, and a philosophy of life which can lead to individual and therefore community happiness. The world really needs what Freemasonry has to offer. Next is a piece from MasonicWorld.com entitled Why Freemasonry Survives. What's interesting is it's actually by Chauncey M. Depew, financier of the U.S. Senator in 1834 to 1928. Why Freemasonry Survives. Institutions do not survive through the ages by accident. They live only through the possession and operation of everlasting principles. When an organization runs back beyond historic records and relies upon tradition for the story of its origin, its career during a known period either justifies or falsifies the tradition. An ancestry of virtue and good works is a liberal education. The power of the accumulated wisdom of the past is a resistless, impelling force upon the present. The architects, decorators, the draftsmen, the woodcarvers, the workers in precious metals, and the masons who were building the famous temple of King Solomon came from every nation in the then known world. Their union of mutual help, protection, society, and improvement was the marvel of an age when all navies were pirates and all nations enemies. Masonry, marching under the leadership of God and to the banner that bears the motto, Love thy neighbor as thyself, with the peasant and the prince, the mechanic and the merchant, learned and the unlearned, following an equal rank and common step, knows neither race nor nationality, neither caste nor condition, as it is proudly and beneficially moves down the centuries. Chauncey M. Depew, 1834 to 1928, financier, U.S. Senator. It ends in the quote, Freemasonry is founded on the immutable laws of truth and justice, and its grand object is to promote the happiness of the human race. Washington. Next, I have to mention a few things that make this show possible. Not commercials by any means, just that we do have an Apple app and an Android app which lets you listen to the show streaming with access to bonus features like the papers we read and Masonic wallpapers which are Masonically themed. When you buy the app, the show gets 70 cents, which helps out. Additionally, there is a Stitcher Smart Radio app which, when you download and you find our show, you register using the promo code WentzKamey with no spaces, they send us a dollar, which again helps us out. But another reason you might like Stitcher Smart Radio is that you get personalized podcast content, suggestions, and entered into a drawing for $100 through Stitcher. Lastly, if you're not into the apps but decide you want to help out a bit, We do have a donate button on the website, wcypodcast.com, which is secure, and it goes through PayPal. And a big thanks for everyone using the apps, whether the actual apps or Stitcher, and all those who contribute. I can't stress enough how much gratitude I have. Next is this week's famous Freemason, suggested by brother Ryan Breck, who visited the Alamo, sent me a couple pictures, and was curious about it, so I told him that on the next episode, the next Freemason would indeed be...
Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier.
Davy Crockett, born August 17th, 1786, passed March 6th, 1836, was a 19th century American folk hero, frontiersman, soldier, and politician. He is commonly referred to in popular culture by the King of the Wild Frontier. He represented Tennessee in the U.S. House of Representatives, served in the Texas Revolution, and died at the Battle of the Alamo. Crockett grew up in East Tennessee, where he gained a reputation for hunting and storytelling. After being made a colonel in the militia of Lawrence County, Tennessee, he was elected to the Tennessee State Legislature in 1821. In 1826, Crockett was elected to the U.S. Congress, where he opposed many of the policies of President Andrew Jackson, most notably the Indian Removal Act. Crockett's opposition to Jackson's policies led to his defeat in 1834 elections, prompting his angry departure to Texas, then the Mexican state of Tejas, shortly thereafter. In early 1836, Crockett took part in the Texas Revolution and was killed in the Battle of the Alamo in March. Crockett became famous in his own lifetime for larger-than-life exploits popularized by stage plays and almanacs. After his death, he continued to be credited with acts of mythical proportion. These led to the 20th century to television and movie portrayals, and he became one of the best-known American folk heroes. While in Washington politics, Crockett became a Freemason. He entrusted his Masonic apron, sewn for him while in Congress, to the Weekly Lodge in Tennessee before leaving for Texas, and it still survives today. That's it for this week. Remember to follow us on Twitter at WhenceCameU and find us on Facebook. Additionally, we're on Pinterest, Tumblr, and Google+, at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Also check out the Midnight Freemason 3 times a week for original content by Masons on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Remember, if you want to submit a piece to the Midnight Freemason, submit it to me with a short bio and a couple pieces of artwork so that we can post it. It is always your material, and it never becomes ours, so that's something to think about. These don't have to be scholarly. Please, if you have something, just send it in. I can fix any misspellings or grammatical errors that you might have. I am the editor. That's my job. Like I said, just send it in an email in the subject line and type submission, and we can get the ball rolling. Also, if you want to do an interview on the show, just send me an email with the details and type interview in the subject line. Thanks again to all the brothers who helped make this show a hit by sharing it and sending me emails. One of the greatest things I love to do is personally respond to each email I get. I have no staff, it's just me. But nothing lifts my spirits like hearing from brothers from all over the world. So thanks again, everyone. I'll talk to you all next week. Stay on the level. The Wins Came You. I'm Robert Johnson.